Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I can tell you this is like, we have tried our best to confirm this is the same object that, that was narrated to us over and over and over again. Like, don't get that wrong. This is correct.
Yeah.
So now, is it before?
How high up is it? Do we know?
I don't know. Okay. Is it before the first or the second foot? I don't know. But unfortunately, I don't have the money shot. Yeah. You know, look, I'm only as good.
From the same dirigible.
This was 100% from the same. Yeah, this was, this video, this second video, 100% was from that same dirigible, from that Lockheed Martin built dirigible. And I believe it was the second camera, thermal camera, MX-20 on that same dirigible. Mm-hmm. I need to make sure on that. I don't like to overstate.
Yeah.
But like, that is the same object. I know people are trying to say it's a different object, like many miles away. They have no idea what they're talking about. Inside the classified system, there's a series of videos that are all labeled with the same object. Let's call it Spaghetti Monster. You know,
yeah.
It's all labeled. So that is, from what I understand, the same object. Now, was it before? Was it after? I don't know. It seems to be over land, but it does go out into the over the water and then does the performance things that I did explain. And hopefully somebody will leak it.
Yeah.
Let us hope. Really crazy.
I mean, I'd love to see it in the public realm, so everybody can analyze it. It's kind of it's the curse of the UFO thing. It's like when I release an image, right, of the other one we're not talking about yet, the chandelier UAP, or even the Mosul orb.
Yeah,
I told the public that is from a video, and that one's even easier. The Baghdad Phantom.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. That's another one I'm confusing. It's Mosul Orb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That would be easy to put public. Remember, they did a video using the same, which was called, it's called Full Motion Video, which is actually like layered optic systems. So if it's at night, it looks full color, like you were talking about.
Yes. Yeah.
So they could, our government, our intelligence agencies could release that full video. And if they see it, they're going to know, the public's going to know that I'm telling the truth.
Yeah.
That you know, so same thing with this. Like if they release it, you know, look, people will see that it's straight up.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is the chandelier? Yeah,
so the chandelier.
We've got that still image, right?
And
that's when you also, you've got video of it or someone has
so
video of
I
it?
So I released, there is video of it inside of a classified system that within the intelligence agency, people are in hot debate for years of like, you know, we know our assets. We know Russia's and Chinese assets. What is this? What is this thermal signature? Somebody said, that's a perfect example of glare. Oh, my idiot. So check it out. This object in the video, it has a very unique movement. It does something very unique and it's no flight control surfaces. You're seeing a thermal signature, but there is a video of this and people in the IC, and you hear this in the special. I'm talking with an intelligence guy who's like, yeah, I'm aware of that. And here are some of the things. So don't take my word for it. You know, hear that guy. But basically there's a video of this. It's actually called R-Space is like a group within a classified server. And they go through and they debate this stuff, just like you or I would. You know, we get like a little chat room. And this is one of those designated UAP, has people baffled because they get to see the whole video.
Now, do you know the orientation that we're seeing it from?
Are
we looking straight up at it from below? Or are we seeing it from its side angle?
Well,
or
clearly, we're you know, there's an asset in the air that is obviously filming this thing, right?
Yes.
So what I believe we're seeing, and I don't want to like make a mistake here because everybody's on me to make a mistake, but like, we are seeing what would be the tail end of a very, very unique shaped object. So this is the heat signature from that object. And by the way, if you just look at heat signatures, like if you blow like a propane torch, you're going to see like a blast of like color. It's like this very unique, hot, cold, very specific looking shape is unique enough because heat shouldn't contain.
You wouldn't get a wagon wheel kind of effect.
I don't want to speak outside of school. I'm not an expert at this, but it's explained to me with the movement. And notice, I'm not going to say too much about it, but notice the little white trail behind it.
Yeah, it's like a little, it looks this like a contrail kind of thing.
So this is in black hot. So what you've got is you've got something cold that has a weird movement. If you listen to what I said about that this thing moves weird, that should give you an example of what of maybe some of the movement of this thing. Because you're seeing cold. Why would it be cold, right, in comparison to the thing? And it's moving like this. So it's really interesting video.
Yeah. But I'm still trying to figure out what kind of profile, if we're seeing it in a profile I or think we're seeing from above.
Front, back, I think it's moving away from us.
But from above or below? I mean,
straight on.
Straight on. So if it so if it was right in front of me, that's what I would see is that shape.
I think, and I don't want to mess it up, but like I think you're looking at straight on, and it would appear to be the back of it because of the way it's moving.
Yeah, and you're right.
And it looks like a shape inside the shape too.
Your audience is going to need to go look at these videos. So you guys got to visually watch this episode.
That's true.
Yeah. Oh, yes. People mostly listen to this episode.
So this podcast is called Really? And like you got to visually watch it because otherwise you're just hearing some crazy
stuff. We are looking at the chandelier on screen. But yes, please look it up. And this is a still image. And there's more of this to come potentially.
Yeah.
But are you asking from me?
I'm asking yes from you.
I have a legal limit of what it is that can keep me a free man. I do not have this video in my possession, nor am I in the position to release it if I did have it. I do know exactly where it is, and so do many people in the intelligence agency. They don't need me. But like I can make sure that people who could release it to you, like Arrow, that maybe they'll do that in their next presentation. Just show them the video. Just show the American public the video. There's no national security issue. It's an unidentified. It looks cooler than a round balloon. You know, I mean, come on. Yeah. Just show it to them. But I personally, I'm stepping back, yo. I'm not releasing nothing.
We've talked about this and you've shared. This is it's stressful doing this. I mean, this is a lot. I mean, getting this stuff out there is an incredible public service. You're, as I said, like the kind of the tip of the spear with a few other individuals who
George motherfucking Knapp is one.
George motherfucking Knapp, sort of the that is OG.
Legal, that is his legal middle name.
It should be.
I'm changing it for him.
It should be. And there's an interesting there's two interesting moments in the in your special. But in terms of just you talk with David Grush.
Yeah.
And you go into some, you know, you kind of get into what he's been through
personally. Yeah.
Post the congressional hearing.
Yeah.
Just talk about that. What were your feelings for him, about him? You know, he's kind of been through it.
Yeah, the public does not know. And George and I warned him, and he's a friend. So I want to premise that. I'm done being a journalist with David Grush.
Yeah.
David is a friend.
Yeah.
Okay. And by the way, he's telling you that as it is, and you should really listen to David Grush. But with that said, he's just a friend now. I'm not interested in reporting. He's a friend.
Yeah.
Like Bob Lazar now. He's a friend. I'm done. I've told you everything I know.
Yeah. And he seems rejuvenated.
Well, let's like talk about that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Bob Lazar being rejuvenated.
The clip from UFO Revolution that you have when you're talking to Bob is like a guy. It looks like a guy who's had a weight lifted off him.
Yeah, man.
Grush and Lazar now are two very different times of this process, right?
Totally different. And like Grush has no inside knowledge on Lazar, so he can't speak with any sort of authority on Lazar, and Lazar can't speak with any sort of authority on David Grush. They might agree, they might disagree. I don't know. Like David
Fravor. But Grush is going through kind of what Bob...
That's true. I should get them together because I think there's so much stigma on Bob, you know? It's like he's a problematic person for people. But I mean, him and David Grush, they should talk because... they have experienced similar, like very similar things. So whether or not Bob Lazar believes David Grush or whether or not David Grush believes Bob Lazar, they have experienced something very similar, although they're very different people in different circumstance. Like Commander Fravor, the coolest thing was over the years, man, just why don't you ask Commander Fravor about Bob Lazar? Get him on this show. We'll call him together. He should be on the show.
I'd love to have David on.
He should. Let's
do it. Yeah.
And ask him about Bob, because Commander David Fravor has a perspective that I think is really important for people to hear on Bob Lazar. Just putting that out there.
Mm-hmm.
So to your question, David Grush, he's a friend. He's been going through shit that people don't know about now. My point in putting him in the show, because I'm not trying to like exploit a friend, just come on the show. I wanted people to like see how we talk, because the thing is that he has been through a lot that people don't know about. People do know about some of it, like the Smash piece and some stupid fucking article. They're supposed to protect whistleblowers and then they trash him for PTSD. They don't really know why he had PTSD. Like, there's a bigger thing about David Grush, like what he's done for our country, by the way. But that's a story for him to tell.
That was a despicable...
Despicable article. Let's not even give it airtime. But what I've noticed is that I wanted to bring him in because we need to protect whistleblowers. How we treat David Grush is going to give people courage, or it's going to dissuade them.
About. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what
so we need to say, look, I don't know if what you're saying is true, but we want to help you get in that skiff. We want to help you publicly and push so you can tell your story. It doesn't matter if I believe you or not. We should protect whistleblowers. We got to protect them. If we don't protect them, we're going to have corruption in every field, not just UFOs. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of my point of bringing him in, and then bringing Bob in, because, you know, Bob doesn't want to do anything. Like, he's done, dude. He's so done for so long. But when you saw him in my new series, you noticed that he's a little fired up, right?
Yeah.
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 Well, I liked there was that at the very tail of your chat with Bob, that feels where he just sort of goes, who knows, maybe I'll get fired up to get in the fight again, you know. And it's like, and I know from knowing you for these past several years, that Bob did not want to go on Rogan, did not want to be dragged back into this.
Didn't want to be dragged back in.
Yeah.
But you notice something, and I'm just going to say, knowing Bob, you know, he can play it cool, like he doesn't care. He's a human being.
Yeah.
Come on. Like, if you can vindicate yourself, there's a party that's going to want to do that, right?
Yeah.
So, but he's happy with his life. He's got this great wife named Joy. They got all these animals. They have this great life. But I could see that little twinkle in his eye. And I know what he's talking about. So I see that little twinkle in his eye. And if he chooses to vindicate himself, then he has my full support. Like his mom said in my documentary, like, it's up to him. If he chooses to, he has my full support to tell what he knows. And if he chooses never to do so, I completely understand why he would choose that.
Is there a ton more to his story that we haven't heard? Is that what you, I mean, would this be speaking to Congress, for example?
Well, is there a form you think this might say? Congress has everything. Yeah, let's talk about it. So, is there a ton more to his story that we don't know? I don't know how read in you are on his story, his account of what happened.
It's startling, yeah. I mean, I've heard the...
There are a lot of details which we don't go
into. I've seen the Rogan thing.
So I got hundreds and hundreds of hours of filming about Bob and with Bob. Of course, there's tons of stuff to the public, especially if they're introduced to Bob Lazar's story in 2019 when my movie came out. Like 2018, cusp of 19, like, of course there's tons more. Bob has always separated what he was indoctrinated into in the program, what he read on paper, what he was told, compared to what he had hands-on. There is a lot more to Bob's story that maybe a lot of people aren't aware of unless you really go back. But there is a critical component to Bob's story. And he has said, so I don't mind saying it, he has said from day one, he did an interview with George Knapp at George Knapp's house, and that was like one of the big interviews, probably like 4 minutes, you know, prior to the movie coming out, like years before, where he says, there are ways that I could prove my story. He goes, but I'm not looking to do that. Imagine if everybody believed Bob, what would happen, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, yes, I believe that he has a punch or two left in him for public good. He didn't start with the idea of the public. He started out of the idea of self-protection. Mm-hmm, but I think over time, as you mature and you're looking at kind of your life and you're like, well, you know, look, man, life's going to end. And what do I got? You know, what should I do? I think there's a part of him that is a just UFO bomb throwing, you know, stand up. Let's, you know, harbinger of truth. Mm. I believe there's that guy inside of him, but I wouldn't want to do it. I might be too scared to go that far. So let's hope. Let's hope Bob does what's right for him, actually. Let's hope Bob does what's right for him.
Yeah.
What has been the effect on the whistleblowers, to your knowledge? I mean, we had heard during Grush, before he went to the Congress, that there's this kind of queue, right? This lineup of people. And you allude to it in the special through David of like, well, some people kind of felt like, ooh, what's your feeling? What's your level of optimism? What do you know about who wants to get in this?
Nobody wants to get
into this system, yeah.
So imagine you're working for an agency, right? And you have family and you have direct knowledge of reverse engineering. Maybe you've even been harmed by this stuff. Maybe you've had a bad experience. What is it that would make you break from the fold is the exact kind of quote I would use. What would it be that you would need to break from the fold? I don't know the answer to that. But the answer to your question is there are firsthand direct witnesses who are knowledgeable about the physical hardware, the programs, the secrecy, the cover-up, and the threats who have come to me and George Knapp. And we have verified them. And that process is insane. And I hope at one point I can tell that. And they are armed to the teeth with evidence. So the question is, how do they do this without hurting the United States? And do they let Arrow slowly come forward? Do they let Congress and Senate, do they expect these aerospace corporations to fess up? If it doesn't happen the easy way, it is going to happen the hard way. And the hard way is very disturbing in that lives will likely be ruined. And I don't want to see that. But I am confident beyond almost anything in my life that we can do it. So it's just a matter of at what cost.
You mean damage on both sides, or just, you know, just in terms of just it would get ugly. Just people would really not want it to come out, and people that are trying to, it
so
would just
turn
into that.
People will go to jail. Mm-hmm. People will lose their jobs. People, if the past dictates the present, people will be physically harmed, if not murdered. They will probably, we'll say, threatened. They'll be exploited. You know, I don't want to be dramatic, but if the past dictates the present, like what we're going through today, if it's not the easy way, it's going to be the hard way. Yeah. And the hard way is destructive. And some people are willing to do that. Not everybody. And again, these are pieces to the puzzle. Not one person has all the information, right? That's what you have to remember. So you're like, I'm throwing an atom bomb, and then boom, boom, boom. They get like one little piece and nobody believes it. You know, it's like, I don't want to get weird here, but like, was Jeffrey Epstein killed or did he kill himself? Like, so I have no opinion on it. I'm not involved with those kinds of things. All I'm saying is, let's pretend the worst case situation happened. Who cares? Like, what effect did that have? So if somebody gives their life as a sacrificial lamb to getting this information out, you know, to try to get it out, there are forces involved in this that no doubt will silence you. Cigarettes kill you.
Yeah.
Okay. So it is documented fact that people in big corporation tobacco company harassed, threatened, and Right. So you understand
and
what
they
I'm saying.
It, they knew it decades before the public did.
Right.
The tobacco companies were the first people to know it.
But you have a private corporation that is hiring people to devastate human life.
Mm-hmm.
That's just cigarettes, bro.
Yes.
You know, so when you're talking about this, you've got a much higher level of problem.
Well, I think there's one of the clever things that the program to stigmatize the UFO subject did that I only really started thinking about the other day was that they didn't just stigmatize UFOs. They stigmatized the word conspiracy so that anyone who discusses a conspiracy is going to be dismissed as a nut. So if you want to talk about the JFK conspiracy, you're a nut. If you want to talk about any conspiracy, you're a nut. And before they did this to the notion of conspiracy, we were able to like address the fact that conspiracies do exist. That if you want to know about a conspiracy, the Iran-Contra, huge conspiracy between the Reagan administration and illegal army that Congress expressly had forbidden funding, and selling drugs and weapons to our enemies to pay for an illegal army. So that was a huge conspiracy. Another conspiracy is the tobacco industry. There was a huge conspiracy to silence that information that the tobacco company's own scientists had. But there was a conspiracy between legislators, government officials, watchdogs within the government to not let that information out for decades. So conspiracies happen all the time. I mean, Nixon, obviously, the Watergate was a conspiracy. So conspiracies are real things that happen all the time. Something like 20 attempts on the life of Fidel Castro. Conspiracies. The invasion of the Bay of Pigs was a conspiracy. All of these things are – but we've stigmatized the actual word so that we're not allowed to address reality.
Mm-hmm.
Because the word itself has been stricken from what sensible people will talk about.
So we saw that with the church committee. And it was a representative that came forward and revealed something called MK Ultra, which, you know, has been kind of put on the internet as like, this is a conspiracy. Project Mockingbird was where they opted journalists. And I can see that pressure already for a long time, for many years, where they want to use your mouth, right? MK Ultra, Project Mockingbird, that is a conspiracy, but it's true. And they were trying to, people were on the payroll for the CIA, journalists were. And this was a big problem. So when you get this notion that conspiracies aren't true, yet we come to find out that like MKUltra was like giving drugs to people in San Francisco and trying mind control stuff.
And in Canada? They did it in Canada through McGill University, through the hospital system there. They were covertly subjecting people to LSD.
Right.
In Canada.
I would welcome that, but whatever.
Yeah.
So it's like
Canada needs it.
Yeah.
But here's the deal. Like, so we know these things happen. We know that our power structures have been out of control before. And we know, and we only know about MKUltra because there were, you know, thousands of files in a warehouse that they didn't like shred, you know, in time. So the only existing evidence that we have of that conspiracy by the CIA, you know, was because of that. So we know that when you get this ultimate power with no oversight, which is right now what Representative Burchett, Representative Luna, all of these people you've seen on the news, what they're fighting against is like, we need oversight, transparency and oversight. Man, it's an uphill battle against these agencies. And we saw that dynamic of power control with the CIA when they did those programs. So what you're saying is that, if I repeat back to you and you agree, what you're saying is that we have seen true conspiracies before. However, that word is tied to UFOs to try to stigmatize so smart people can't have rational conversations about this. And you've said it to me a bunch of times. You quoted people. You've explained it to me. Confirmation bias, the whole thing you've talked about, where consent is something manufactured. Yeah. And there's a Noam Chomsky book. You taught me all about
great
this.
Great book. Yeah.
Yeah, you taught me about this. And so where we are, we're in a place where we need to move past that conversation. We need to move past it now. So what are UFOs? What do they represent to humankind? What does our government know and other world governments that we've seen glimpses of, like when I released that document from the Five Eyes Foreign Materials Program through Larry Maguire in Canada, you know, it had been out for like a second before, whatever. Getting that out into popular media, getting people to realize this is an international issue with implications of sociological and cultural and ontological ramifications, we need to move past it. The stigma must reduce so pilots can report, so people can report, and we can have an honest conversation. Easy way or hard way? There is an easy way. And the NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act, and the IAA, Intelligence Authorization Act, that wasn't created in a void for 2024. I have direct communications with people designing that language, not because they want, not because they think, not because they believe, but because they fucking know.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we do next? We destigmatize. We force the issue. We get loud. We throw stuff out and we try to see if we can get more information. And we force our representatives to do the job they were designed to do, whether elected or just inherited. It's their fucking job.
Yes. And Chuck Schumer.
Amen.
Is not, you got Chuck Schumer, not a reckless man, not a man who does things without thinking thoroughly through every possible angle of it, wrote one of those two pieces of legislature.
Well, he got behind it and helped bring it forward with very strong words.
Yes.
Publicly.
Very kind of bespoke, tailored to. Yep.
There were many authors.
The information,
of that.
Yes, but
it's the Gang of Eight, right? The Gang of Eight. Are they all co-sponsors?
There were many authors.
It was Senator Rounds and Senator Schumer.
Senator Rounds is an unsung
co-authors
hero
of it.
Senator Rounds is an unsung hero in the fight for transparency on UAP, and there are other people who are deeply unsung heroes that you will never hear about. But who am I talking?
Because I mean, all legislature, the authors, the co-authors of it are the people, are just the representatives whose name goes on it. But yes, it's their staffers that.
Well, sure.
What I'm trying to make sure your audience hears: there are unsung heroes that you will never hear about, who know, and they are pushing it through and educating along the way. And unfortunately, you'll never hear. I don't think they care, but like. I care.
Yeah.
I wish you knew who the heroes were.
Yeah.
But I'm saying there's just that notion that he's not going to write that without really solid grounding to do it.
100%.
And there's also this.
Without knowledge.
Yeah. And there's also this notion, like I saw a thing on BBC did a quick thing about the fact that there was the recent skiff, the
meeting the other day on Friday.
Yeah.
And the BBC, they had their panelists come on briefly. They barely discussed it, but they said, well, this is just political gold for them because, you know, this is, you know, all these things that Congress can't get anything done, but they can show this thing. And I'm going, it's like, how can you be a political analyst and throw out everything you know about politics just to dismiss this? Because it isn't political gold because as you said, there's no distinction between the two parties on it. There's no way you can hold up UFOs as something that gives me an advantage over the Democrats or advantage over the Republicans.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow wherever you are. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
so it has no political value, and 98% of the population doesn't care.
BBC are dinosaurs.
Yeah.
60 Minutes, dinosaurs.
Yeah.
New York Times, dinosaurs.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's maybe a few people that are good. Like, I like that guy, Ralph Blumenthal. I think that he is a real broker of true information.
Yeah.
I've been able to talk with him. I think he's a real broker of true information. He's in the series. That's why I kind of got to hear what he had to say. But it's like, they're fucking dinosaurs, man. So I hear what you're saying. And I think that the only way forward for us is to just, I don't want to say something rude, but like, throw punches.
Mm-hmm.
Let's throw some punches. Yeah.
You're a martial combatant. You know that. You've got good practice. You know,
let's get this clear for your audience and for the whole world.
Don't.
I used to train martial athletics. I was the worst. I was never the best. I was always the smallest, weakest, but I was persistent. I am not a fighter. Not in that realm. My body hurts. I don't want nothing to do with it. I'll run away from a fight if my knees work well enough to run away from it. I'm not, like, no joke. Like, that was a past thing. It informed my mentality of how I believe things should be approached. But I am not a tough guy. Never been a tough guy.
No, I mean, look at your spindly arms. Yeah. It's pathetic.
There's a moment, though, because this does take a lot of courage. And there was a moment in the – there's a moment in the
I'm
special.
Just stupid. I got no courage. Go ahead.
But you in the special, again, streaming on Tubi, it's fantastic. UFO Revolution.
Yeah, man. I watched it. It's great.
It's very good. I highly recommend you should watch it, Jeremy.
I should finish it.
Mm-hmm. When you're talking about journalism, talking about the threats, talking about – what that, and you kind of, I don't know, there was a moment you had what was happening there?
I didn't want to talk about it then. Why do you think I'm going to talk about it now?
It's compelling.
They kept it in.
Yeah. It's compelling. It's in there. It's interesting.
They kept some of that in there. Yeah. Look, you can focus on the ways in which people try to hurt you to silence you. You can do that. Everybody experiences that in some way. If you got some kind of adversity, I don't give a fuck. Something is wrong with my brain. I don't sense fear like that. You know, I don't care. I'm done caring. I dropped my last fuck the day I met Dave Foley.
We all did. It's all downhill from there. Yeah.
Now life doesn't matter. You're like, this is the greatest beer I ever had without somebody else drinking with me. No, look, I know what you're talking about. So Where I come from there is there's always going to be people pressuring you to shut the fuck up. They would love that. And they'd fucking win. You know, I ain't shutting up.
Mm-hmm.
And it ain't happening. So here we are. And wherever that leads us, there we go.
Fair enough.
Yeah. No, it's definitely, I mean, it's been really interesting just watching from the wings, like watching the ride that you and particularly like you and George have been on for the last few years. Like, how long have we known each other now?
I know, because like I'll text you at like late at night, like in bed. I'm like, I'm cuddling, hiding under the covers. I'm scared of the world. Here's my dog, you know? So Dave and I like had a unique relationship. I tell him my vulnerabilities. We've known each other a long time, man. And I'm really grateful that we do know each other. And, you know, really it's because you stood up for me before. You stood up for me based on the information that I was putting out before you knew me as a human. Mm-hmm. So you didn't misjudge me as a human, you suspended judgment based upon what I was doing. And I thought, that's so cool, because most people, they take an opinion on what you're doing and making a judgment on your character, right?
Yeah.
So it's just kind of like, it was kind of like, I already knew, I was like, oh, that guy doesn't jump to conclusion, like, you know, believe the things you hear, read, or told. You know, having a one-on-one conversation is very different. You get to know somebody, right? That's why for like me with Bob Lazar, it's so important to get to know him, right? Because then you understand the whole context.
Yeah.
So.
Which is the great thing your movie does.
With Lazar.
Yeah, with Lazar, yeah. You get to see that.
I loved it.
The reality of who he is. Yeah.
I learned a lot.
Yeah.
I just want to show people who he was as a person.
Yeah.
Piece of the puzzle, never been told in news reports, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, George had this hard task of doing news reports and pulling this guy in. But like getting to know him was like cool for me. So I wanted to share that, you know, and I thought, well, cinema, let's share it, because it gave me an excuse to film him. But we've known each other a long time now. It was our friend Joe Rogan that brought us together, in the sense that you went on his show and were talking about my movie. And Joe and I had been in contact before, but, you know, nobody really like said, hey, it's a good fucking movie, you should watch it, right? Mm-hmm. So you kind of like, that's how we became friends.
Yeah.
And then you came to my hometown, Pioneer Town, you know? And it was just kind of neat looking for things to do. So it's been a long time pre-COVID that we've known each other.
Yeah. And we've seen like just like the, you know, that you've got from being this documentary film, I guess, to suddenly being name checked in the first congressional hearing on UFOs in 50 years to being there in the front row of the recent hearings with Grush and Fravor and Ryan Graves.
I was actually a witness for that. People might not know.
Yeah.
George and I each submitted as witnesses on that day written testimony. And I encourage people to go look that up. It's on Congressional Record, but it's on my website.
I have read both of them.
That's cool. And we're just trying to so instead of us physically testifying, you know, with our faces right there, I realized, and I think it was common knowledge, let's get these guys up there. They're impenetrable. There's nothing, you know, these guys are the faces. But what we wrote and what George wrote, even above mine was like a broad thing. What he submitted to congressional testimony, I think was so powerful. And I think people should read it, because there were five witnesses that day. And George and I were two of them.
Mm-hmm.
Additionally, just so your audience knows, I haven't said this publicly really, but I don't know if we have, but we tried to submit a more than 100-page scientific analysis of the Tic Tac UFO event series generated by an intelligence agency. I think I'm going to stop right there.
Mm-hmm.
And we were in that building trying to submit it or negotiating the submission of it, and we couldn't do it because of direct threat to the well-being and livelihood of other people. And I want that on record.
Mm-hmm.
And you can ask George about it if he hasn't told you about it. That's important. That is real.
Yeah.
The suppression of the UFO information. People say, we don't have a lot of data on the 2004. That's why Sean Kirkpatrick, of course, didn't study the 2004 Tic Tac event, because we just didn't have a lot of data. You fucking liar. You did. Or if you didn't, we already told you that we have it for you. So that was a real wake-up moment for me when George Knapp and I look at each other, and he had to make a really hard decision. Do we put this on congressional record and put everybody at risk, because, or do we not? And his job, and he's told me, is to protect sources even if they don't protect themselves. And I have followed that mantra and that truth. So I just want that to be very clear to your audience that that did happen. There is a report. And
I want to read George's, I want to read both your reports. And yeah, I didn't realize that there
were those witnesses. DIA can't find it anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but it's really interesting.
But there are witness statements you can find.
That's what I get.
But yeah,
witness statements. But DIA can't find it. It wasn't submitted. And when they then went and tried to get it officially through DIA, they said, we can't find it anymore. Well, I'll tell you this. I know exactly where it is. And I could, with George, they could have a copy in 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
So they were just hovering during that day.
No, not hovering. It wasn't like, you know, you people use cell phones now. They don't have to breathe down your neck.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. What... There was a hearing Friday?
Yeah. Skiff.
Not a briefing.
What happened
there? ICIG, so the Intelligence Community Inspector General. Imagine the police of the intelligence community. So the head honcho.
Was this the guy that was protecting, was helping shepherd Grush's whistleblower testimony?
So that was the first.
This is the guy who heard the whistleblower complaint.
Okay. So the first ICIG ever was a guy named Chuck McCullough. Chuck McCullough is an awesome dude. I believe he was the first ever.
Yeah. He was at Seoul.
Yeah.
Was he? Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to hear about that.
Yeah.
So Chuck McCullough is a hell of a guy, and he must really know that David Grush is telling the truth to get behind him as the former ICIG and lawyer for Grush. And that was the battle during the hearings. You know, I had an agreement. I helped set that up. That's all documented, right? So when they were like having other people sit behind Grush, I was like, oh, hell no. I was like, his lawyer sits behind him. I actually physically, I was like, if you don't make this right, I'm going to physically move people, you know, straight up. And so they did. No problem to the people. It was just like they were trying to stop. Not they. Like, it was difficult to get, one, everybody on under oath, which they all wanted.
Yeah. They and, wanted. And the they would be staffers. These would be not.
I'm not going to blame anybody.
But it wouldn't be the actual Congress people or senators.
No. It was just
that were present at the hearing.
Look, your lawyer should be behind you if you've gotten through the DOPSER, which is like what you're allowed to say legally, and you're going in front of like open Congress. I imagine a minefield.
Dave Grush, we're walking in a minefield.
Jason Moskowitz and Tim Burchett, they were fighting these same people. Right.
No. They were doing their thing as Congress people. It was me there seeing the situation. I had set this up.
But they're being blocked on different aspects.
Oh, yeah. Being blocked on different. Yeah, totally but different.
Basically by the same intermediary level of government.
Yeah, I don't know. I just know that if Mark Zuckerberg was up there and he is testifying in front of open Congress, you're going to have your lawyers
sitting right next to you.
At least so you can hear them. You play a lawyer on your last show on Fargo. So as that character, Dave, wouldn't you want to be near your clients?
Yes. No, okay. Every hearing I've seen, you know.
They're always right there going like.
Even the congressional hearings.
The whole
so this is
Supreme
why,
Court. Supreme Court nominees have their lawyers present.
I am literally the least qualified person to be making these decisions, but I did this day realize the problem. The problem was there was this attempt to kind of keep Chuck away from Dave. Fuck that. So like I made sure under no uncertain terms that Chuck was going to sit behind Dave because I don't know. I didn't know Chuck at that point, but I just knew you need your lawyer. You have people probably sitting right there in the audience ready to haul you off if you talk outside of your DOPSER, which is your approved talking points of what you can talk about legally when you're talking about classified stuff. So there, you know, so Chuck gets behind them. That's why you saw us sandwiching in there and George all uncomfortable because we were witnesses too. We set it up and we with a lot of people, we set it up. It wasn't just me and George, like an army of people you don't know, right? Mm-hmm. But there's Chuck behind him and he'll whisper to Dave once in a while, you know, careful, man. Like, because everybody wants David Grush to make a mistake with his clearances so they can dismiss him. And I have been the target of intelligence agents trying to get me in different forms of communication to say that David Grush ever talked outside of school and gave classified information. And he hasn't. He's never been a source or a leak. He's played it by the book from day one. And because he's a smart fucking person. You're up against a titan with David Grush. Mm-hmm. You are up against a titan. He is fastidious. He is intelligent. He is litigious. So that's where you want to sue people. He's like, he can litigate. Like he's so specific. He's got this crazy memory, which he attributes to maybe some sort of autism. He's just, this is a guy that, and he's physically powerful. He's a big guy. So you're up against King fucking Kong with David Grush. Yeah.
And this is a guy with a long career in intelligence, in the military and in intelligence.
He is a trusted intelligence agent.
Yes, with worked for two of the most, you know, important strategic.
More than you know.
You know, the NRO and the Geospatial are two of
the,
our most
The National
important.
Geospatial Intelligence Agency and the NRO are very important. But also, David Grush probably has more history than you know as an American patriot. And I would say that this is a guy I would trust with our country, with national intelligence, and with my life. This is a guy that I think is a formidable power, and he's speaking truth to power. And I also think that he is worthy of your attention.
Yeah.
And let's just find out if what he said is true. Yeah. Simple as that.
He did it. Yeah. Yeah. And we should distinguish that there's a difference between a 4-year meticulous investigation and, he had some friend that told him some stuff. As the NASA chief,
they're just uneducated.
Yeah,
I don't blame them. They just don't get it. They don't know.
But for people who
Bill
think,
Nelson,
but for people who keep
stupid.
Saying, "Oh, it's just hearsay," a four year meticulous investigation by a trained investigator.
Yeah,
he actually is different. Is different from hearsay.
he actually has what I would call firsthand knowledge of it as well.
Yeah. It's like saying a prosecutor in a murder trial just has hearsay because the prosecutor didn't commit the murder.
He does have firsthand knowledge?
Yeah, I would definitely say that David Grush has an element of firsthand knowledge. Now, it depends what you mean by that, right? So like, you know, David Grush, from what I understand, and of course he couldn't tell me if he did, but from what I gather, he didn't like walk in and see a spaceship. But I'm just going to make an assumption here. Mm-hmm. Don't know if it's right. You work at the National Reconnaissance Office. They basically operate or own the hardware of like our greatest satellites. Then you work at NGA, National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, which are basically the analysts that look at this imagery from our best satellite hardware, which oftentimes are pointed out to space when it comes to UAP, not just at Earth, but they do both ways, also at Earth and in our upper atmosphere. I would assume from his comments, if you just listen to them, I would assume when he was asked that question, that if you had the right authorities, that he would tell you that he does have firsthand knowledge. And that firsthand knowledge would be in the form most likely of direct imagery and program read-ins with detailed analysis, scientific analysis, and imagery of what we call UAP, UFOs, talking about spacecraft by non-human intelligence. I would argue that that would be my position, that most likely he does have some what we'd call firsthand experience of being exposed to legitimate classified documents that reveal visually the things that we are most interested in, straight up. But you have to ask him, and yep. I don't know that as a fact, and I think that he'll write an op-ed or something, and maybe if he's cleared, we'll talk about it. Because remember, on Weaponized, the head of the DIA UFO program.
I want to talk about this interview.
James Lukacsky told me and George that he not only that they had a spacecraft, and he was meaning of non-human intelligence, that we didn't make, Russia didn't make, China didn't make, and that they breached the hull of it. This is a bombshell.
It was a total bombshell. That whole interview was a fucking amazing, amazing thing. And I thought you guys did an amazing job, and I thought you got a lot out of it. Even though I know you guys were hammering because he's unbelievably sort of elusive.
He's a by the book guy, which is the kind of guy you want in charge of the DIA. Says,
Let me just ask you straight.
Yeah, I've said what I can say. I can't elaborate.
Respect.
Yeah. So the DIA put him in charge of OSAP. Correct?
Yes.
And he is the designated by our intelligence agencies, by the DIA to – this is James Lukacsky we're talking about. This is an interview on Weaponized. Lukacsky. Recommend Physicist. Everyone to listen to this interview with Colm Kelleher. And they've written books. So this isn't someone who is in any way saying this is not a phenomenon. I mean, he's been up to his eyeballs in it for
– more than you know.
Forever, right? So in your mind and in the sort of like layman – you know, I'm referring to myself, you know, is he a gatekeeper? Has he put hands on the ships?
Okay. James Lukacsky is a true American intelligence agent patriot. He's the kind of guy that you want in these programs. He is unwilling to speak outside of his DOPSER. The reason he could tell me about the craft and breaching the hull word for word is because his DOPSER request, which is you're asking the government, is this endangering national security? He was allowed to talk about it. It is the truth. The DIA and his personal ability to know about, I'll just say, one of our non-human intelligence craft and then breaching the hull of it, that's all he could say word for word. And you saw me pressure him on Weaponized. Mm-hmm. And he's a friend. I don't mean to pressure him, but come on.
Yeah.
Is he a gatekeeper of the negative kind? No. He's the kind of gatekeeper you want. He's the guy that keeps you safe at night because he is by the fucking book. He's writing these books with George Knapp and Dr. Colm Kelleher, and they're trying to get out as much information as they can in the legal way. I suspect if Congress subpoenaed, if the Senate Intelligence Committee or whatever subpoenaed James Lukacsky, he'd be willing to talk about it as long as Congress people don't talk out of school and they don't leak information. That's his big fear. And I do look, I got sources everywhere. I do know, you know, loose lips sink ships. So James Lukacsky is a hero, man. He's a guy that you want in the position of the DIA. People give him a hard time online. They shouldn't. He has protected our country. So I can't say to you if James Lukacsky has physically seen the craft himself, because he's never said that.
Right.
If he decides under the right conditions, in a skiff, with authority, with a subpoena, which maybe he'd welcome, then he would tell what he knows as long as it's secure. But he is number one country, do no harm. That's Dr. James Lukacsky. So he's not a gatekeeper in the bad sense. Does he know more than the American public about non-human intelligence, UFOs, extraterrestrials, interdimensionals, extratemporals, all of these things? 100%. He does. So the question becomes, how can we help him to tell the American public? And that's the position I'd like people to take with Dr. James Lukacsky. Help him to tell the American public, understand who he is. He's a protector of our country. Mm-hmm. And you should listen to him. And he's one of many. I think Lou Elizondo. I think if Lou Elizondo was asked to testify and he knew that security of national security in the United States would be okay, that he would unleash. I believe that he would. He's a patriot, I believe.
And we know there's more to these stories.
I would
there
hope.
More to their stories. We know that
what 100%.
We've gotten is just a sort of tip of the iceberg kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, I think James Lukacsky and Lou, you see them be very careful, circumspect, I think would be the term, about what they reveal, what they do say, and especially with Lukacsky too, but with Lou, definitely he will intimate where there are areas that he can't go into, but somebody should.
Lou is in an impossible situation.
Yeah.
So is James Lukacsky. So are other people. Now, some people want to tell more than others. Like, they believe in disclosure. Like, I feel that Lou Elizondo has the, and I'll let him speak for himself, but I do believe.
If we ever get him.
Yeah, you got to get him. You got to get him. I do believe that he is a proponent of, like, all right, put the cards on the table. Let's figure out what's going on. The American public has not only a right, but a need to know. I don't know that Dr. James Lukacsky feels the same way, but push come to shove, those guys are patriots. And if they're put in the position, I believe that they would not only tell the truth, but they would provide actionable intelligence on how to forward our understanding of this. And I'm making an assumption, but it's an informed assumption.
Mm-hmm.
So I really hope those guys get the chance to do that.
Here's what I'm excited about for 2024. You've come out fucking swinging with UFO Revolution, streaming on Tubi. This has been awesome. It's great. We've both watched it. It's really cool. It's got great new stuff. But it sets the foundation beautifully. Like, the context is amazing. Like, your conversations. I mean, it's really, really good. And now you're telling me, like, well, we kind of knew this, but it's like, we've got good guys in there fighting the fight.
We do.
There's good folks outside, like yourself and George, you know, but also with all the connections inside as well. But we also have people who are still in there, some anonymous, some not, fighting the good fight. Where do you think we're headed? Like, what's next?
This is a unique moment in history. We are on the precipice of an honest conversation about UAP UFOs and what they might represent to humankind. I don't think anybody has all the answers, even if they pretend to, which happens all the time. But what I see happening is this: it's easy way or hard way. The mechanisms, the architecture for confirmation, official confirmation to occur, is in place. Is it going to happen that way? Don't know. But I'll tell you, if it doesn't, mark my words, there are people ready and armed to the teeth to do it the hard way. And it will cost them personally, but they're willing to do it and they're ready to do it. And I don't think that's going to change. So what that means is direct firsthand witnesses with documents and evidentiary proof. Now, I'm not a crystal ball guy. I don't make predictions. I don't even know when my alarm clock's gonna go off when I set it. I don't. I'm really bad with this shit. But I will tell you that I'm not gonna stop fighting, and I'm nothing compared to the other individuals involved behind the scenes that are ready to throw punches. So I'm very optimistic, although I'll warn you, I'm an optimist. I think life is beautiful. I really like people. And I'm enjoying this ride. And I think things are always going to turn out great. And if they fuck up, they end up being better than I thought. So be forewarned, I'm an optimist. So
that's good. You hang out with a good pessimist, though.
George.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's great, man. I swear at his core, he's not. He's like, I'm just looking for the dark lining in your silver cloud, Jeremy. He said that to me the other day. I was laughing so hard. Yeah, I don't know. But I do think it's going to take a little bit of grit, a little bit of will, a little bit of push, a little bit of gunpowder, you know, like metaphorically, to make this thing pop. You know, this to crack the egg, as was said to me by an intelligence officer 20 years ago, probably now. It'd probably take a lot to make this crack, but we are seeing fissures. And I think that if the public is engaged enough, people always ask, what can I do? What can I do? I'm just a, you know, lady in Ohio. What can I do? Mm-hmm. Be loud, make noise, ask questions, push. That's what you can do. I don't know what else specifically, and I don't know how this might happen or not happen, but I know we are on the precipice of a different understanding of the ecosystem that we live in, that it might be more vast, might be more alive than what we've ever considered prior, and that we might even be seeing it for less than it is. And that's exciting.
That is exciting.
Well, yeah. Probably a good place to stop.
I'd say. I mean, can't top that. Dude, thank you so much, Jeremy. Yeah, it's just been great to talk with you. We will hopefully do it again soon. But yeah. Just, man, just keep on keeping on. You are the tip of the spear. And thanks for putting up one of the tips of the spear. Thank you for being here. This was fucking awesome. Dave? Thank you for being here.
Thank
I'm
you.
I'm glad we were all together. This is great.
Yeah, nice to do this again.
I got to tell you, people, I mean, they're not going to get this message unless they're already listening, but people should listen to your podcast because I am never more unruly and unfiltered as when I feel this comfortable on your show.
Love
so
it.
Maybe take that snippet and make people listen because honestly, when I sit down with people, they usually have agendas. They usually are trying to get me with a gotcha moment, or it's just uncomfortable. I never get to speak this openly as when I'm sitting with you guys from the two times we've done it. So if you use that as a clip to listen to this podcast.
Right. We're already cutting it right now.
Jack,
you
on that?
Yeah. If you want to know the truth about UFOs, this is good. The closest you're going to get because it's the most I know. I know nothing else from what I've said today. So thank you guys so much.
We had a great time.
Appreciate
thank you,
guys. All right.
Awesome.
Next time then. Round three next time.
Okay. Yeah.